In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The worship life of the church is an endless cycle of experience and reflection and renewal. And this service in our prayer book has experienced that cycle of experience and renewal. Most priests today choose, as Sarah has chosen, to say that this is not a service of new ministry, but a service of mutual ministry, your ministry together, as a way of saying to the people of God, let's all move away from passivity to participation. Also, what's happened, and again, Sarah has chosen to do this new thing, is in the series of gifts that the congregation gives to the new priest, there's also a gift the priest gives to the congregation. That's an important place to look, because that says something about what the priest is longing for, what the priest hopes for, what the priest dreams for the people of God in the place that her or his call has taken them. And you will receive a gift today. Each and every one of you will receive a gift of the San Damiano Cross. It's on the front of your leaflet. That cross is integral to the life of St. Francis, and I think Sarah hopes that it will be integral in the life of St. Francis Church here. St. Francis saw that cross and was moved by it. And the tradition tells us that the cross actually spoke to St. Francis and said, Francis, rebuild my church. Rebuild my church. People of St. Francis, rebuild God's church. What could be rebuilt here in this beautiful place? I mean, Sarah, in her great understatement, said, oh, it's a lovely church. It's an extraordinarily beautiful place. And she said, it's filled with lovely people. What could be rebuilt here? In a very healthy way, you moved from a long and loving rectorship with Dean, where the sacraments were given to the people, where the word was preached, where the people were loved. And hopefully you'll move into a rectorship with Sarah that is as long as that one was, and where the people are as loved as much as Dean loved you. And I know that will be true. Rebuild my church. Rebuild my church. What could be rebuilt here? There's an old saying, and like all old sayings, there's some truth in it. It says that after a while, parishes take on the personality of their rectors. Now, if you know anything about the Episcopal clergy, that can often be alarming. It's a frightening prospect. But happy St. Francis. You have no fears. But you will, I promise you, you will be challenged. Because what you have done, and done in your own way, as some people would say, have broken all the rules to get the person that you wanted, as mature adults, you have called a pilgrim. Sarah will love you, and the sacraments will be celebrated here, and the word will be broken open for the people, and you will be taught, and she'll do all the things that you expect the rector to do, from make sure that the driveway is clear, to that the restrooms are clean, that the children have what they need for the nursery, on and on and on. She'll administrate, she'll be a pastor or a preacher, but she will lead you in pilgrimage. And with Sarah's permission, I'm going to share a little bit of the pilgrimage that she has been on. Is it as long as 5 years ago now that you came to St. Paul, that you came to St. Paul's Church in Pomona? And as my beloved friends from St. Paul's in the back of the church there will remember, when Sarah and Mike came to St. Paul's, we were in the beginning of rethinking ourselves. And it's my first time with that church, very new in my rectorship. And the Sunday they came in, I think it would be easy to say that they could have sat really wherever they wanted to. There were lots of empty seats, but a small, very faithful group of people. And I remember that Sunday looking out, seeing this new couple, thinking, oh God, please let them stay. Please let them stay. And I was crestfallen when Sarah said that she was a Methodist minister sort of on a break from her regular ministry. I was like, they're not going to come back. Well, they came back. And I learned that Sarah and Mike had just recently been married, and Sarah was taking a break from the Methodist ministry to come down to Southern California from Northern California, and that she would be with us for a while. Think about what she wanted to do. And Sarah and Mike slowly but surely entered into the life of the parish. And what you've seen already in Sarah, she did at St. Paul's. She had wonderful people skills. She was able to move into the old guard and take over a program that included them all and didn't shut them out. And I treated her like a colleague, because she was an immensely experienced person. And my associate and I thought of her as part of the team. And she was a wonderful sort of balance to my sort of bull in a china shop, get it done now kind of way. And she was slow and patient, and the people there loved her. Right? Right. They're here today. They loved her. And soon, the lady who ran the cookie drive at Christmas was in the pulpit. And then she was on the vestry. It was a little strange to have a Methodist minister on an Episcopal vestry, but, you know, St. Paul's was on the cutting edge and still is, and so we rejoiced in that. And then there was a day that we knew would come, and we mourned. Sarah said, my interim time of thinking who I'll be is over. I'm called to minister. I'm going to go back to being a Methodist minister. And I said, well, if God is calling you to do that, good. And I prayed that God would call her to do something else. But I said, if this is what you're called to do, do it. You have the heart of a pastor. Well, actually, I said, you have the heart of a priest. Go be a priest to these people. And we talked about it and thought about it, and she sort of talked to her friends. And the Methodist bishop called and said, have I got a job for you? Plum Parish in San Francisco. 5-bedroom townhouse overlooking the bay. And she said, in a week, she said, you know, I'm not going to take that job. And I said, really? I thought, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll go.
I would make a very, very bad Methodist, as my friends from St. Paul's would tell you. But I thought, well, why? And she said, I'm not at home there anymore. I'm at home here. And I'm going to read you something that she wrote, and sort of excerpt from her letter to her bishop. April 4th, 2005. Over the last 20 months, I have begun to identify the dis-ease I had always felt in the United Methodist worship as I rediscovered the richness of sacramental liturgy. 15 years ago, I was converted to Christianity by the dual influences of a word-centered, socially progressive tradition of United Methodism and the rich sacramental and liturgical life of the Roman Catholic Church. Throughout my college years, I attended a Methodist church on Sundays and a Catholic church on Thursday nights. And she goes on later to say, I chose the United Methodist Church, and it chose me. For that, I will be forever grateful. But ever since I left college and my two churches, one Methodist, one Catholic, a different kind of heartache has lingered. Even 2 years ago, I could not have put my finger on the source of the ache. But the first Sunday I worshiped in an Episcopal church with my new husband at the start of my extension ministry, that ache began to heal. For 20 months, I have wrestled with whether I should surrender my orders in the Methodist Church and seek ordination in the Episcopal Church out of fidelity to my ordination vows and gratitude for what the United Methodist Church has given me. I have delayed, and I have prayed, and I have deliberated. I have consulted colleagues, clergy, and friends. Since the 2004 General Conference of the Methodist Church had approved the recent study of Holy Communion, I thought perhaps this would give me permission to enrich the sacramental life of the next church I was appointed to serve. So when my husband's work had the potential to call us northward again, I was appointed to Bethany. I thought, okay, Bethany is creative, open-minded congregation. Let's give this a try. But over the last 6 weeks, I have come home every Sunday after worship in our little Episcopal church here in Pomona, and every evening of Holy Week, wondering how I could have imagined leaving this. Every Sunday, I walk into a socially and theologically progressive Episcopal church, and I trace the sign of the cross on my body with water from the baptismal font. Many Sundays, the presiding priest sprinkles the entire congregation with the same and reminds us of our baptism. I bow before the processional cross and stand at the reading of the gospel. There is a strong emphasis on the preaching of the word, and the Bible is taken seriously. We chant prayers together weekly. Bells are rung at the consecration of the communion elements, and my spine tingles. On Good Friday, I knelt down and kissed an iconic cross, a cross with a corpus. This church marries the two traditions that captivated my heart 15 years ago and has welcomed me home. On Good Friday, I knelt down and kissed an iconic cross, a cross with a corpus. The cross that Sarah kissed is the San Damiano cross, the cross of St. Francis, that she gives each and every one of you today. And she knelt down and kissed that cross as an outward and visible sign of her commitment to the Lordship of Jesus and her love of the holy. St. Francis, rebuild your church. There was nothing broken about Sarah or even Mike's love of the Lord. There wasn't anything broken about that. They were two mature Christians who loved the Lord and loved the Lord's people and had a depth and a knowledge of the faith more than many clergy have. But they were called to pilgrimage. Sarah knelt at that cross on Good Friday and had the same experience that so many other people down through the ages have had. She looked into that face of Jesus on the cross, that living, glorified, and crucified face all at once, that face that says, "Come unto me. Come home. Welcome. Come into my embrace." And you'll look at that cross and you'll see Jesus is not alone. That cross has lots of people in it. Lots of people from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of struggle. Saints and sinners are all pictured in that cross. But Sarah's pilgrimage began gazing into the eyes of a Jesus who says, "Come follow me, enter in." There's nothing wrong with St. Francis that needs to be rebuilt. There's nothing wrong with Sarah and Mike's faith that needed to be rebuilt. St. Francis got to a point where he decided he didn't need to lug around the rocks anymore to fix the church that he was fixing. He got it. He said, rebuilding the church is being an outward and visible sign of the love of Christ on the cross for all people. To be out in the world incarnating that. That's the pilgrimage that Sarah has been on. As your priest, that is the pilgrimage that she is calling you to go on with her. And in her time here, she's talked to me about things that happened here. And I've been so impressed with your willingness to allow her to be who she is and to experiment and try new things. And I mean, we even laughed about last Pentecost when you had the new fire here, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And somehow the formula for the fire was wrong. And it was way too long and too big a flame and the whole place almost burned down. But you all rolled with it. No, you rolled with it. You said, "Okay." And some of you, she said, even said, "Are we going to have that again?" I think the answer is yes. We've tweaked the formula this year. At my church, the young curate, who's a tremendously gifted person, came up with a phrase that we use again and again and again. We like to be piously playful, to love the Lord with all we are, heart and soul and mind and strength, but to be playful with the Lord, who loves us in a playful way, and to ask God to enter into this with us, to worship with us, to enter into our longing to be with Him, our longing to discover the grace that is available to all people, to try new things. So the place almost burns down. But you all know what the fire of the Holy Spirit is like. Sarah will love you. She loves you already. She, as a Methodist minister, had the heart of a priest. What lucky people you are. What lucky, lucky people you are. Be brave. Be piously playful. Go on pilgrimage with her. She will take you to the foot of the cross, and you will all look into that face of the one who longs to love you back, whose arms are open wide, waiting to embrace you. That's the rebuilding that this beautiful place needs. Go on pilgrimage. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and be piously playful.